You may like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word, thy love letter. So God, deal with us that we would have the benefit of it. And only you can make that happen. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, going in the Gospel of John in chapter 16, where we have got that far, and I would remind you that it's in the upper room. Christ is going to leave that upper room and end up on the cross. And in the process of that, he encourages, instructs, and gives the information needed to the believing heart in order to survive, in order to understand him going to the cross. And therefore, the disciples who are not in the place, not until after the resurrection, the disciples are not in the place to grasp who he is, really, and what he's doing, and why he's doing it. They just don't have that. So therefore, as far as they're concerned, he's going to go, be taken captive and crucified, killed, prisoner killed. Their future is death, prison, and the end of every dream and aspiration they had. They had all of the wonderful future as they could perceive it under the Lord and with the Lord Jesus, and it was disappearing. And the dreams and aspirations of the human heart are all there. But then the realities of day by day and week by week make the dreams and the aspirations vanish. And they don't come. Well, they come, but they can't keep them. You can't keep them. That's life. Now, God, what are you going to say to your 11 disciples at that point in the upper room? What are you going to say to help them? Give them a little blueprint, a plan, where to go, who to talk to, what to do, comfort. How are you going to help them? So here we are, God, us believers in this age of grace, and we ask God, we understand that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. So God, how do you help us? How do you really help us? God, how are you going to comfort us? And God, chapter 16, remember, we shared together all of these things. Chapter 16, verse 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Where are you going? They didn't ask. But because I have said these things, that you're going to have all of the hardship, they're going to kick you out of the synagogue, they're going to try to kill you, etc., etc. Chapter 6, verse 6, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled thy heart. I've got to get that instant. We'll have a funeral later. It's all right when they're crawling though on the Bible and they go right after where I'm going to read, they go right over the word. I can't see the word because like little bugs running across it. Nasty bugs. Now, verse 6. But because I have told you these things unto you, I have said these things unto you, sorrows have filled their heart. So now, my point is, how does he answer them? He doesn't say a thing about their future. He doesn't say a thing about their problems and what they're going to face and how they should be able to fight the battle. He doesn't tell him anything except verse 7. Nevertheless, all of those things are true to the disciples and to us. I tell you the truth. It is expedient, profitable, necessary for your advantage, for your benefit. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That's his answer. I'm going. You're worried about me going? I'm going. Also, not only am I going, but I'm going to send the Comforter, another person, to take my place. That's what I'm going to do. That's the solution? What kind of solution is that? And I will take the rest of the day and the rest of our life, literally, to see this. I want to help you. How? Why does he say what he says? Seems so simple and so inadequate on the other side of the coin. Now, so, in the light of that, I'm going to give you just a little heads up to start, and then we're going to try to do it. The Spirit, God in his wonderful, wonderful makeup, God in his wonderful makeup sends the Son. And the Son's wonderful purpose is to go to the cross and to make possible us the saving of all human beings. And the Son's business is to honor the Father. And the Spirit of God's purpose is to honor the Son, who honors the Father. Why honor you, the Father? Why you? Father, equal to the Son, equal to the Spirit of God. Why the Father? Hang on. Over to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, you are all probably familiar with the simple statement, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, Elohim, plural. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Hang on to that. God. You keep using God at the start, and you keep with God in eternity. Why? And because. God, you are unique, special. Hang on. Therefore, here's the word, God, and that's how he starts off his word. And sliding over to verse 26. And in verse 26, and God said, let us, plural. Remember, God is plural. Noun, masculine, plural. God, plural. Three, God is one, only one in nature, essence, being. Only one. But he's three distinct personalities. But he's only one. He is unique. He is the Father, he is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's not three different gods, that's what people do. Three forms of God, God showing himself in three different ways. It's not that. It's not three parts of God. God has three parts. No, God is a triune unity. He's unique. He's the only one. The only one. And jumping way ahead, and you have to follow through, even tonight, to get it, he's the Comforter. He's like no other. In every way, he's like no other. And so no other Savior, no other solution, No other remedy, no other prescription is needed. If you understand who he is. And once you understand who he is, then you're going to access that comfort to your benefit. Now, over in verse 20, well, let me keep going. I don't want to digress. The God said, Elohim, plural, let us, plural, make man in our image, our plural, after our plural likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God, plural, created man in his own image, and in the image of God, plural, created he him, male and female, etc. So God, you did a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so we have to understand God is going to explain himself, us. God is a plural. He's an us. That's what he is. He's different. Now, having said that, over to Deuteronomy in chapter 6. In Deuteronomy in chapter 6, you would recall in the great Shema, the Jewish word that they used to hear, Hear, O Israel, chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, pay attention, Israel, a command. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, that's proper noun, Yahweh, Lord, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, Yahweh, the Lord, singular, proper noun, I should say, our God, plural, our singular God is one. Is one Lord. That's all. He's three, absolutely, but he's only one. Only one. Now, having said that, our Lord, our God is one Lord. Now, over to Isaiah. This is your Bible. I'm just taking a couple of places to see, help you to see the flow. Go all the way over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. And may I pick up, please, in thought. In Isaiah chapter 43, going to verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen. In order what's the purpose? That you may know and believe me, me is plural. Me, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You have to believe God. That's what you're doing. Believe God. And understand that I am he. Before me, plural, before me, there was no God. There was no God. There is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, I am the Lord, besides me, plural, besides me, I should say, singular, I think, besides me, there is no God. Now, having said that, beside me, singular, there is no Savior, I should say. This is 43:11. Not just reading, just trying to pay attention to the words and what they're telling us. Over to chapter 45. And in chapter 45, you will note, please, picking up, if I can, in the light of time, verse 21, God summoning the world to sit and listen to him. 21, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told this from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God. There is no God else besides me. That's why idolatry is so foolish, because we create gods. What is idolatry? We not now, because you have to understand idolatry yesterday was of one kind. Idolatry today is another, because we don't have gods. All the nations had Zeus and Mercury and Baal and Marduk and all of them gods. And every country, every nation had their gods. And that's how the wars and everything worked, government. That's how it worked. We don't have that. Who's the person? Do you know anybody that worships Baal? Marduk? Oh, no, we don't do that anymore. We understand that was a stupid thing, because all the gods that we made are no gods at all. They aren't gods. There's only one God that's God. And so therefore, we come to this day and age, and we're caught up in religions of all kinds, not about gods, religions, and we create Allahs and everything. We do all of these different things. Christians are science and all of that. And we do all of those things. That's what we do today. And then we're leaving that to get into the materialism and socialism and communism, et cetera, et cetera. That's where we're headed. Each thing evolves. Where does that lead? To the Antichrist. Hang on. All of that comes together wonderful. Now, having said that, Isaiah 45, verse 21, there is no God else besides me, no God besides me. And in the process, I just God and a Savior, there's none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God. There is none else. There is no other God. Now, why do I need to understand that? Because God is saying what? I want you to understand that I am your creator. Who is I? I am God. I'm not like your gods. I'm not like your religions. You're going to make nothing like me, and anything you can see, touch, all of creation is mine. Sun, moon, and stars, without reading that, et cetera, little wonderful section in Deuteronomy, because they didn't want to get caught up in what? What do? We get caught up in everything. We try to make things gods. We do it. Not the stars don't become gods. The moon doesn't become God. We make it God. We make it God. And therefore, as that time goes on, here we are looking and traveling down, and we have a relationship to our system, to our world system, our religions, our gods, our religions. We have them, but we don't have one to God. We have all about God, somewhat, from our standpoint, but we don't have it with God. God is wonderfully unique, and God's uniqueness is all you need to understand. Do you understand that? Our gods, Zeus, Jupiter, Marduk, all of them, line them all up like this. They're all individual gods. They're all what? Powerless. And history has proved it powerless. But not God. I, the Spirit of God, is going to bring you to an understanding and a relationship that He is your Father. And when you understand Him as your Father, you will understand the Father is God. The Father, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit of God. He's God. He's the creator of everything. He's your creator. And He's your comfort. He answers everything and everyone in a most awesome way. He Himself. Give me a solution. God said, I am the solution. Give me some understanding. I am. Understand. We just read in Isaiah 43. Understand and believe who I am. Now, over if we can, to Matthew and chapter 28. And when you come to Matthew 28, God says something to the Jewish people they needed to understand, among other things, that includes us. What did the Jewish people who had the Old Testament, who said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, what did they need to understand? Chapter 28, verse 19. 28:19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, identifying them with God. How so? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The three of them. The three are one. The three are only going to amplify what? The Spirit of God is going to say, well, there's only one God. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there's only one God. God the Father, there's only one God. But all the time, there's only one, but there's three. And they make it all happen. Why is that so? I'm jumping ahead. Why is that so wonderful? Because God the Father is your comforter. God the Son is your comforter. And the Spirit of God is your comforter. Do you understand? I didn't say someone's going to comfort you. I said God, in His magnificence, is your comfort. Hang on, we've got a long way to go. Over again, over to Thessalonians. All we're doing is taking something to help you a little bit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, all kinds of ways to do this. I'm just doing it a little bit so you can, when you read God's word and you're just reading it, you're going to pick it up. Chapter 1, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience, bearing up under the load of hope. Where is that? In our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God, here we're trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and in the sight of God and our Father, God the Son, God the Spirit of God, and our Father. Over to chapter 3, easier. And if I can, chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 11. Now, verse 11, 3:11. Now God Himself and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. God, in your fullness, in the magnificence of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in all of you that are, you are unique. Awesomely, wonderfully unique. Guide us. Comfort us. We aren't talking about a little remedy over here. We aren't talking about a special pill or a special doctor or a special dentist or a special warrior. We're talking about God, who's like no other. Like no other in any way, shape, or form. So I need to understand that. So when I pray to God and look to God, to what measure do I understand? To what measure do I understand what I am doing and why I'm doing it and the benefit that is immediately mine when I look to Him? We're in His presence. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so God, here we are looking, and over to chapter 14, John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, you would recall God's wonderful. This is the upper room again. And remember now, hold your finger there. You don't have to go far. Back over to chapter 16. And chapter 16, verse 7, so you know what we're trying to do. Chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, necessary, profitable for your advantage, for you, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. God, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I have to go and finish my assignment. Father sent the Son to die. The Spirit of God is to honor the Son and honor what he has done for us worldling people, us humans. And it all has to come together. What has to come together? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So when I pray to God, the Son of God, which I pray to the Father, I'm looking to the Son. I'm looking to the Spirit of God. When I look to the Spirit of God, I'm looking to the Son of God and the Father of God. I can't look to God. I can't enjoy God without God being God in his fullness. So I don't have a little segmented little bit. Jesus, help me. Jesus who? Who's Jesus? Well, he died on the cross. Wonderful. Do you understand what he has made possible? It isn't for you to get to back into the place. We'll talk about Jesus, and God bless your heart, it's true. But it isn't. It's to get you to the Father, to get you to God. That's what you need. You know that. I'm going to pray to somebody somewhere, Jesus. That's what most people do, us people, humans. And we do, but we pray to Jesus, God, wherever you are, God, I trust you as my Savior. And God, wherever you are, come and help me. Come and help me. See? But you're already housing God. You're already giving a home. To whom? God. And you want comfort? The word, comfort. To be encouraged, to come alongside, to help you as an aid, as an ally, as someone to come in, a defense attorney, to come in and cover the bases for you. That's the word comforter. Now, the Spirit of God, Jesus said, I got to go so that you can have him. Without him, none of this is real for you. And that's the trouble. The disciples, if he doesn't go to the cross, which they don't understand, and rise again and provide for them the Comforter, he's going to go and they're bankrupt. The only reason they were safe for 3 1/3 years is because he was there. They didn't get sick. They didn't have to worry about someone attacking them. They didn't have to worry about the government. They didn't have to worry about taxes. Why? He was there. The Comforter, if I don't give you a Comforter, hang on, chapter 14. And you'll notice, please, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I'm going to pray the Father to give you another Comforter. Another, just like me, another of the same kind. He will give you another Comforter. I'm the Comforter, and you've been very content. I've kept you wonderfully for 3 1/3 years. I kept you in the wilderness for 40 years to boot. So God, can I do it? Can God do it? Absolutely. I'm going to give you another one. And then, go over to chapter 26, chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 26 of chapter 15 and 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Spirit of God's going to honor the Son. The Son is going to honor the Father. And so if I understand that I receive the Lord as my Savior, what does it do? It makes me a child of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Makes me a child of God, a son of God, Romans chapter 8. Wow, I'm related to God. That's right. And so what am I supposed to do, Spirit of God? What's he going to do? You know, all the dumping ahead, Galatians 4, 6 and all that, Romans 15, 8 and 15. What are you going to do, Spirit of God? I'm going to help you understand what? What's your ministry? For you to be able to understand and say, present tense, a command, Abba, Father. I want you to be able to talk to God as your Father. When you talk to God as your Father, you're going to talk so that what? You don't think there's three gods. So that's why the Spirit of God doesn't honor himself. Jesus Christ doesn't honor himself. Just the Father honors himself. There's only one, but there's three. And you aren't going to be confused, who do I pray to and why? As if there's three gods. There are not three gods. And that's why when you get saved, you know God in a singular as your Father in the light of his magnificent triunity. God the Father brings you by way of his Son, sending his Son by way of the Spirit of God. He brings us to God's awesome person. My Father is whom? God is who? God. Wow. So therefore, keeping that in mind if I can, and if you can, and therefore you could say God is an ever-present ally. Romans 8, all these things become real. Romans 8, 31, if God be for us, who can be? If God be for us on our behalf, to bend the word, the little preposition, to bend down to protect you. If God be for, bending down to protect us, who can come down on top and get us? Because God's protecting us, as it were. If God be for us, who can be against us? Not if Jesus is for us. Not if the Spirit of God is for us. God is for us. God. God, God, God. That's right. Hang on. I wish I could. It's just too much for me to fumble out to you. I'm trying to help you understand. It's God. But if you don't understand God, and most believers have such a lousy attitude, understanding of God, it's terrible. And that's why believers can't be very good at believing. They aren't very good at reading the Word. They aren't very good at believing the Word. Well, of course, it can't be. You'll pick that up tonight wonderfully, I hope. Now, over if I can in the light of all of that, over to 2 Corinthians. I just hope you get a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And you will please note, chapter 1, going directly in that which you are familiar with. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God the Father is the Comforter. Son of God is the Comforter. Spirit of God is the Comforter. The God of all comfort, all encouragement, all stimulus, an ally, an aid that is totally, remarkably, beyond all understanding, awesome. Himself. He's the creator of everything. And there are no gods. He's the only God and the only Savior in a most remarkable, awesome way. Yes, he's the God of all comfort. So, then you have the little context to help us. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation? So, God, how are you going to give me another pill? Well, you may take a pill, and God, you may even stumble upon it and take it, and God will bless you with it. But it isn't the pill. You're looking to God. You aren't looking for the, you're looking to God who is outworking. He's the creator. Who is the creator? Not Zeus. Not Mercury. No, God. Not Christian Science. Not Mormonism. Not with all the rest of them. It isn't about that. It's about God. And you are to have, we read it in Isaiah 43:10, we're to have a unique, Israel failed to ever have it. They're going to have it coming up, but not yet. We're supposed to be having it in Christ Jesus, this unique relationship to God. We are to be children, sons. Oh, more. We are to be, he's the head, and we're the body, literal body, like this. Now, here's your body. Wonderful body. I just had my first invasion of the body, and the first thing ever taken from my body, ever. And so when they told me they had to take something out in there, I said, no, I've never given, I own every piece. That's all mine. My teeth, everything, appendix, tonsils, they're all mine. You can't have them. And the doctor looked down and said, well, good night. And good night I went. And what can I tell you? I weigh 50 pounds less. Do you understand? The body. You can't be removed from the body. Your other pieces can, but you can't. If you're saved, you belong to the body. If you're saved, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's all. I didn't ask what your background was or anything. Either you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you haven't. And if you haven't, you aren't saved. As simple as that. But when you have, you belong to the body. That means that Christ is the head of the body. Christ is what? Is going to be able to make God knowable. That's why we don't get time to read it. John chapter 14 again, verse 7, 8, 9. They want to know, well, God, we have, never, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So how are we going to get to you, Father? We can't. Unitarianism isn't going to do it. It's not going to do it. God, how am I going to get there? And so they asked the question, where's the Father? Jesus said, remember, if you've seen me, you've what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. That's right. The God that you received as your Savior is one. And yet awesomely three. Comforters. For all comfort. And you need no nothing. How's that? God is sufficient in his awesomeness. Period. And you trust him. That's why the Lord Jesus will say in Mark 11, have faith in God. Let him be your inspiration for your perspiration, for your expectation. Have faith in God. That's awesome. Simple, isn't it? You know, when I was with the doctor, using that illustration, if I can, I wasn't going to tell the doctor, doctor, I don't really understand why you have to do that. I really don't understand the fullness of that part of my body that you need to have, take out. I don't really understand that. And so therefore, God, let's have a discussion. Did I do that? Would you do that? No, you don't do that. If you have an abscess tooth and the pain's going through your everything, and the dentist opens your mouth and says, let me get this cured for you, wouldn't you open your mouth? Wouldn't you open your mouth? Are you going to have a big discussion about the pain? No, you open your mouth. And now that God, that's what you're doing. Only now we're applying it to God. I hurt, a pain, the world system, everything's cuckoo and not good. It's not good. It's bad. It's going to be worse. That's what I'm trying to help you with all the time. I'm trying to help you understand how you're going to make it. You say, well, I'm a believer and I'm going to sit and listen to a little Bible verse. Well, Bible verse better become alive to you. That better be one pulsating seed growing in your heart. Otherwise, it's just a bit of information. What good's information to you? You can memorize the whole book of Genesis. What good's that to you? Oh, I know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's wonderful. I might do a couple. Hey, you got that? What good's it to you? You got a problem? You don't go to Genesis. You have to get to God. And if Genesis doesn't get me to God, then Genesis isn't doing me a bit of good. But I had a wonderful study. I don't care if you had 10 studies. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to be realistic. Otherwise, we kid ourselves about a whole lot of stuff, and we never get anywhere. But we give ourselves a bunch of baloney, and we just don't, we never learn anything. It's no good. Now, so therefore, First Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I got to quit. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, God who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. What are you doing? You're showing God what God created them. God is the only Savior. The people around you at work, at home, at school, they need to be saved. They need to be saved. They're into whatever they are. They need to know what? God, the only God and only Savior. What is God doing? You're trusting God with all your heart, the God of all comfort, to do what he does in your life, so that in the thick and thin, the easy and hard, the much and the little, the work, home, school, play, hard days and good days, you're looking to God, and people look to you. And that's your testimony. God, the Lord Jesus, isn't walking up and down Jerusalem or Palestine. He's walking down, up and down in your kitchen, in your work, in your school, and you carry him. And you're showing the people around you what? There's a wonderful God who created us and saves us. And that's what you're doing, maybe. That's what you should be doing, what we should be doing. Therefore, chapter 4. I'm sorry I didn't get far enough, but I hope you got a little bit. It's a wonderful subject. Just chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brings to us God, a relationship to God. Spirit of God's ministry is to bring that relationship into actuality, and we're to enjoy that relationship. And we're to understand, verse 7, but we have this treasure, this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Here we are, vessels of clay, dust. That the excellency of the power, the wonderful, wonderful dynamite, dynamic, the wonderful, wonderful power may be of God and not of us. God. And his triunity. God, when I say God, I understand. Three and one. One and three. Why can I say God? Because God sent, the Father sent the Son. The Son honors the Father. In order for us to honor, need to be honor the Father, we have to honor the Son. We have to know the Son as our Savior. When I know receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, Christ in me is going to honor the Father. The Spirit of God's ministry is to help me honor the Father and going to say, Abba, Father, so that I can talk to God as my Father. I can't talk to everyone down the street as my Father. I can't go down the street and knock on the door and say, listen, listen, I'd like a 5-gallon can of gas and a hamburger. I can't do that. They are my Father. I can't say what I'm going to say. I only had one father, and he's gone. But that one father pointed me by his being the Father, to the Father, by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we're able to say, God, we're able to say, we have this power in an earthen vessel. And God, why back to, I got to quit until tonight, God help us, in the process. You don't have to turn there, John 16 and 7. It is expedient for you that I go away. But if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. And if the Comforter doesn't come, you got nothing. You're dead and lost in sins. But I'm going away. I don't want you to go away. I want you to fix it. I'm going to go away. Why? So that you can have what we, us 11, 11 disciples, we were with him for 3 1/3 years, and he's over here, and we're over here, and we never connected. Christ went and died on the cross, Pentecost, resurrection, Pentecost. What happened? The 11 and all the rest of them had a unique personal relationship that Jesus Christ had. And God gave it to them. Otherwise, they would have had someone else had something. No, you, the believing heart, have it to enjoy it. I got to quit. Our Father and God, thank you for your word, your work, your grace. God, as we try to get along here in understanding, it's an awesome thing. Simple, awesomely, awesomely simple to understand who you are and allow you to be who you are, so that we can have the benefits of who you are at every single moment of every single day, even until you come. So deal with us. For those who know not you as their Lord and Savior, God, may they receive you as their Savior. And our God, we're looking to you for your wonderful working, even this day, in Christ's name, amen.